At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender community. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Falinski, and we're going to be doing things a little bit different tonight. No BBC News, because...
we have a very special musical guest, so we're switching things around. We're playing the news later. Our live in-studio special guest is Melissa Ferry, and she's on first because she has to run out the door as soon as her visit's over to get to her concert at the Rhythm Room, 815 Washington, in the Heights. So let me tell you just a bit about her. I saw her 2 years ago at the Houston Women's Festival, and I was there from noon until 10 p.m., and I was dead tired, but she wasn't on yet, and the act before her, I really wasn't into that act, and it was just like 45 minutes of, oh, I want to go home, my feet hurt, but I really want to stay, I really want to stay, I really want to hear Melissa. I forced myself to stay, and I was so pleased. She is amazing in concert. And she's here on tour pushing her new album called The Other Side. Welcome, Melissa.
Thanks for having me. Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello. There I am. There I am.
Okay, that's better.
Hi. I didn't know you were at the Houston Women's Festival and that you saw me play there. Thank you very much.
You got the shirt.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you so much. That's really the best compliment that I think anybody can hear. And sometimes I know how that feels too when I stick around and I'm watching a show, but I've heard about someone else and you wait and wait and wait. And then when you get a pleasant surprise, it makes your day nice. So I'm glad I got to do that for
everything
you.
Everything I'd heard was true.
Well, that's nice. Thank you.
Let's start off. Can you describe your musical style, say, like if you're telling someone who didn't know what your style was?
Right. I get asked that a lot, like from hotel elevators and in hotel lobbies carrying my guitar. And I think that most people, kind of in a layman's way of saying it, would say that I'm kind of like Ani DiFranco meets Dave Matthews. And I think that that kind of is a good way of sticking it together. But at the same time, I feel like I'm a lot more... well, I'm certainly not as political as Ani is, with my lyric writing anyway. I think I love Dave Matthews' stuff. I love his band, and I love the fun that and the joy that he brings. So I think that in some ways, even though I sing about things that might be sad, I kind of smile a lot. So I think that it kind of has that Morrissey effect to it, you know, that you might be singing Girlfriend in a Coma, I know it's serious, but in general there's an overwhelming bit of kind of like love in my music as well.
It's interesting you compare yourself to other artists, because that isn't usually what happens when I ask that question.
Oh, really?
Usually people don't want to, they want to be their own artist. They don't want to sound like so-and-so.
Oh, well, I don't think I sound like anybody else, but I do, I mean, it's hard. I mean, that's how you know if you want to go see somebody, is you're like, well, she's kind of like a little Bruce Springsteen, or like kind of like Ani, but kind of like Dave Matthews, mm-hmm. kind of phrases like, you know.
Point.
Yeah, you need it, and that, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, all those artists are artists that I am fans of and am flattered to even be in the same sentence with, so I have no issue with being compared at all.
Tell us about the new album.
Yeah, The Other Side. It just came out June 1st, which it's weird to put a record out in the summer, but because, you know, college isn't in and stuff. But I made the whole album by myself. I played everything on it and recorded it. I'd never made an album completely on my own before, and it just seemed weird that I hadn't done that because I'd been a solo performer for so long. And so I made it at my house in about 3 weeks and wrote a lot of the songs while I was making it. And I toured it over the summer solo and did a little movie piece, and I did a Q&A and a little film, and tried to have some interaction with the audience. And then this fall we've gone out on this tour, and I'm out with a guy named Billy Beard, who played drums with probably most notably Patty Griffin. And and before that he was in a band called Face to Face in the 80s that was real popular. He's a Boston-based guy, producer, player.
So the album's kind of all Ferric all the time?
Yeah, all Ferric. It was just me, you know, Brenna, my girlfriend, was downstairs. We lived in an apartment that we couldn't stand. We were having a really hard time in our relationship. It was a three-floor, kind of one room on each floor, kind of like stacked in an old mill building in Newburyport, Massachusetts, where I live now. And so I stuck myself up on the third floor and hibernated had a coffee pot up there for myself and everything, like a separate little kind of living area, and just stayed up there for 3 weeks until I finished the record. So,
other than doing it all yourself, how is this different from your previous releases?
I think that Well, I think that because I'm playing everything and because I wrote all the parts, even the drum parts, and I'm not really a drummer, I think that my fan base seems to be able to hear kind of exactly what I heard in my head, whereas a lot of times before when I've made albums, I do believe that when you make a record, if there's other people in the room, that they're involved in the process. I mean, even if they're, you know, just quote-unquote the engineer, you know, I mean, a person's spirit is there and they're involved, their energy is there, and so it's on the record. But this time, because it was really just me and the animals, I got very it was very dangerous to kind of, I didn't want to do it for too long because I didn't wanted there to be too much ego involved and too much kind of regrouping and rethinking and listening to myself going on. But
overthinking
it. I just really wanted to perform them. I did all the songs live. I played and sang them all, and then I did kick drum parts, and then I did bass parts, and you know, I just moved very quickly. I mean, to do an album in 3 weeks is fast anyway, but so I kind of was like, this is what I can do, and I loved every minute. I mean, I loved it. I loved it so much.
You recorded it at home?
Yeah, I recorded it at home.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's great sound.
Thanks. Yeah, I think it sounded good. So it's actually the same gear that Brian Winton, my old drummer, he works over at Universal Records now in New York, but him and I made Valentine Heartache together at my parents' house on this almost the same gear. I have some new microphones now and a couple new pieces of gear that are really nice, but I knew that I could make a record that sounded good because Valentine Heartache does sound really good. So, but yeah, I kind of went from that. And then I went into a big studio and made Listen Hard and spent an enormous amount of money and realized that, kind of the hard way, that I don't have to spend a lot of money to make, you shouldn't spend a lot of money to make an intimate album. I think that if the songs are good, it doesn't matter where you make it. If they come across, they come across.
Let's not keep the listeners waiting to hear you sing.
Oh, God.
She's got her guitar right here, folks.
All right. Well, you had said that you liked Beijing, which is actually the single off of the album. I wanted to write a song about attaining silence, and I didn't really know how to do that, so I hung out with my friend Dan Byrne a lot, who's another singer-songwriter, and came up with this song, and it's called Beijing. Well, I'm digging a hole in my backyard. I hit rock and sprung water, so I dove in, and I ended up in Beijing. Yeah, so I stole me a bike, and I joined up with these monks, 'cause silence, hey, it's worth more these days. Oh, the AOL Time Warner, or Martha Stewart, stocks. Well, it sounds so good because I can't tell you why. And if distance makes the heart grow fonder, then ooh, baby, look at you and I. Yeah, yes, just look at us, honey. Look at you and I. And if you can get it, yeah, grab as much as you can. Medicine that works, and I'll explain to you. I'm lost, baby. I'm lost, and I'm lost here. And you said, hey, honey, you said you're free. You're free. You're free. You said you're free. And if you can get it, come on, grab as much as you can. Thank you.
Excellent. Glad I picked that one.
It's a fun song.
So that's, quote, radio's single?
I don't know. Yeah, that's the one the radio stations play.
Okay, whoever knows.
I don't really know. Sometimes I think that's the only, you know, that's a good difference on this record. I on every other album I've made, I've kind of sought one song and kind of said, okay, this is going to be the song that we send to radio, so let's da-da-da-da-da. I didn't do that on this record, so it's kind of interesting because back in my hometown in Boston, The River, which is a pretty powerful station there, is, you know, they've been big fans of mine, but they also haven't really added anything in the last couple records. But with this album, they were just like, with that song, they were like, they added it, and now I'm playing their Christmas show, and we're getting radio play, and I'm kind of like, maybe that's the idea, is to not, you know, as simple as it sounds, don't produce it for radio, but actually just make an album. You know, make an album that expresses, you know, how you feel and see if people like it, you know?
How many albums have you had now?
Well, I had two on Atlantic, and then in 96 I signed with an indie label. I gave them two records, that's four. And then on my own label I have Valentine Heartache and Listen Hard, which are both produced, so that's 4, 5, 6. This is my seventh produced album. Yeah, seven albums and like two live records or something.
Okay.
Like that.
Seven studio albums.
And
two live.
Yeah, I don't really count live records as records because not really.
Okay.
I mean, well, you don't have to write anything new for them, you know what I mean? Because like you have to write new songs and produce them and stuff. Live records are just like, they're easy, they're great. You can take any show and put a record out. It's awesome.
The Advocate has called you an indie rock goddess.
Yeah. Well, you know. That's
you,
nice. That's a little frightening.
It.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Well, do you have groupies?
Yeah, I think I do. Yeah. I have some. Sometimes it's a little interesting. Yeah, there have been moments. I think lately, in the last kind of 2 years, really since Drive is kind of taken off on the internet. I have a song called Drive that was on Freedom that is a really popular kind of song. It's a very sexual, and I made it as a dare, actually, and now there's kind of some remixes going on and ending up in queer clubs and stuff, so it makes me really excited, and it's fun to play every night, and people love it. So ever since that song has kind of taken off, I find I have a new kind of a fan base of young queers that come out.
And they're called Ferric Heads?
They call themselves Ferric Heads. Some of the hardcore ones do. Yeah, they have there's a website and everything like mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
I did a Google search on just your name and got 38,000 hits. And there are a number of fan sites devoted to you, and that's not typical with indie artists at all.
It isn't.
I visit a lot of sites.
Yeah, I bet.
And that's not typical. So
I don't search my own name.
Oh, why not? It's fun.
Oh, yeah, I guess, maybe, but I try to not do that. I know my girlfriend, like, we have a thing called the Ferric Digest. It's not ours, actually. Some fans started, and it's really great. And they write in every day, you know, from all over the country where I'm playing and stuff. And so Brynna will send me certain things that are not, you know, that are nice or whatever, but sometimes I don't really like to look at that stuff because it freaks me out a little bit. So
you're too close to the bone.
Yeah, you know, like I don't really like to be reminded of what I wore every day kind of thing. It's kind of weird.
It's Boston. She wore the same shirt as she wore in Baltimore.
Exactly. I've been wearing the same shirt every day this whole tour. No, I haven't.
What song gets the biggest audience response?
I would say Drive. Right. And I don't know. What do you think, Karen? For Once in My... What?
Welcome to My Life.
Yeah. Welcome to My Life. Yeah, that's a fun song. I like that one, too. I'm putting out, actually, in the spring, there's a DVD that comes out with a CD. It's a best of kind of thing. It's called Decade, and the DVD is a film about that I've made, put together off of all B footage over the... Basically, 1993, my first record came out, and then in 2003, that 10-year span of time, kind of chronologically goes through, not only musically chronologically, but also film-wise. So the whole thing's set in time, and it's...
Oh, neat.
It's really
footage from dating
back to my first album. Yeah, and there's not one entire performance of me playing a song. It really is all backstage footage, and kind of like, if you didn't know anything about me, I wanted people to be able to go and see this movie and watch the progression of an artist, you know, from being on a major to then being dropped and being on an indie to then opening up her own label. And I'm putting out a CD along with it, which are I'm going to re-record basically two or three songs off of every single one of my albums over that 10-year period of time and put out kind of a best of thing and hopefully tour small screening rooms in major cities and do like a little screening Q&A acoustic tour in the summer.
You kind of almost touched on one of my questions. I've written down your career has not exactly been a Cinderella ride,
mm-hmm.
and included some extreme ups and downs.
Yes,
has this enabled you to make better music?
I don't know. I know that it's enabled me to be a better person. I don't know that, a more responsible adult and a better sister and daughter and girlfriend and person. I just feel like if I hadn't gone through what I've been through, I mean, I've been sober now for almost 8 years, and I think that getting clean is a huge part of my story, and I wouldn't have anything today if I wasn't clean and sober, and I know that pretty deeply in my soul, and so that's important to me, and it's important for me to keep playing in clubs and keep being out there in these bars and be an example to myself, you know, that I can do this, and I think that getting dropped, I think everything's happened for a reason. I mean, I'm one of those kind of fatalistic girls that, I mean, I believe I have to be in action and I have to, you know, do the work and stuff. But I also have to be open to seeing the doors, you know, the doors that are available for me. I think it's made me a better musician.
Do you think your music's evolving?
I hope to God it is, yeah, because otherwise I don't know what I'm doing. I hope I'm getting better. You know, that's one of the things, like, this is really the first time in my life that I have felt like, I don't really know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, musically, I'm kind of bored right now.
Well, you're reaching for the other side.
I guess. I mean, and you know, Westbound, which is the last track on this record, is very electronic and very different vibe for me. So, and I just started working with Billy. So there is a part of me that's a little bit excited about doing something different, like really different. But it's hard, you know, once you kind of play the acoustic guitar and you're a girl and you're in that crowd and that's what people know of you. It's really difficult to kind of step out and go, you know what, I want to make a record with Moby, because that's really what I want to do. What I really want to do is make something completely different, be pushed musically, go work with other people who are producers and, you know, sing on someone else's songs or something like that, but just to keep me interested and alive. But I think that happens to everybody, no matter what your job is. You get to a certain point with your career and you want to be challenged again, you know?
Do you think your music sometimes is too personal? Because you cover a lot of heartbreak,
yeah,
a lot of relationship stuff, and maybe sometimes, oops, I'm really revealing too much.
Yeah.
You get that?
I do get that from people, but I don't think I have a choice, really. I mean, I just write about what I have to write about. I think that I get a little bored of my own material, being in the relationship phase, and I am hopefully, you know, I think on this record is the beginning of starting to write about different things, like Beijing is about something, you know, The Other Side is more of a song about introspective for myself, Anything Anywhere, which I'm going to play for you later, is a song about really hopefully finding an unconditional true love. There's more hope on this record, and I think that there was on Everything I Need, which is the last album that did really well for me. So I would agree that, yeah, it's hard to be such a personal writer, but it's really
censor.
I have to. I can't not write what I write.
Well, let's go into that other song then.
All right, sure.
And you're listening to Queer Voices on KPFT 90.1 in Houston.
This is called Anything Anywhere. But let's try to be in tune.
Want you to know me, need me and smile when I call your name. I want you to never look at anyone else this way. So strange, there's something that we have between us, and it's not fair if you've never felt love like this before. Anything is anywhere. I would give everything I own away. Always I will sing, picturing you singing right back to me. Yeah. I want you know that I will always have you, no matter if never physically in my arms again, 'cause this love, it's like mercury. Yeah, look at us splitting off endlessly, every time I try to nail you down. Anything, yes, anywhere. I would give everything I own away. Always I will sing, I'm picturing you singing right back to me. And it's too bad, too bad, too bad that the best love hurts so much. But it's so good when you get the kind of love that hurts so much. Anything's anywhere. I would give everything I own away. Always I will sing, picturing you singing right back to me. Come on and sing it right back, sing it right back, sing it right back to me. Anything, anywhere, anything. I'll go anywhere, anything, anywhere. I would give everything I own. I will give it all away.
Melissa Ferrick singing Anything Anywhere from her album The Other Side.
Thanks. That's my favorite song on the record.
Can we squeeze another song in real quick?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Do you want to hear Welcome to My Life? How about that? You can have an acoustic version of that.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Or you want me to sing something else off the new record?
Whatever.
All right.
No, actually, I would like Welcome to My Life.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That is one of my favorites.
Come on in. Yeah, welcome to my life. Get up in the morning, grab a cup of coffee, check out and pack my car. Yeah, we kick it in fifth gear, 75 won't get you caught here. Pulling into Houston, Texas, or from the looks of it, all the girls are pretty. So I promise to grab my soul and leave my ego at the door. I'm gonna try to open up my eyes. Come on and sing along if you wanna. Cry if you have to, or lean back into your lover's arms. Grab the hand of the person standing right next to you and show them we are not afraid here of who we are. Yeah, see, I got four bags and two guitars. And my friend Jen, she helps me remember. It's the fans who got me where I am. So if I close out a show and I'm still $40 in the hole, I'm gonna put the room on plastic, sleep here on an unfamiliar mattress, and wonder to myself, my true love, where you are. And I promise to grab my soul. My ego's at the door, babe. I'm gonna try to open up my eyes. Come on in and open up your eyes. Sing along if you want. Cry if you have to, or lean back into your lover's arms. Grab the hand of the person standing right next to you and show them we refuse to be afraid anymore of who we are. Whether you be queer, straight, bi, or trans, I'm counting all the hippies, gypsies, and queers. Get on the train, 'cause we're going to the promised land. Come on in, welcome to my life.
Very cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Melissa Ferrick, Welcome to My Life. I want to squeeze in one more question because I know you have to run out the door to the rhythm room.
Okay.
Of what song that you've written are you the most proud?
I think probably Hello Dad, which is a song off my first album about my father. It was one of the first songs I wrote. It was about growing up in a home with my father, who is in recovery now but was an active alcoholic for the first 14 years of my life. So I wrote a song called Hello Dad, and he was the first person I played it for. He was already in recovery. I was like 16. So I think that bond that I have now with my father, that was the beginning of me learning that songs could be part of a healing process and bring people together, you know?
I always like to ask that question. Get the most interesting. interesting answers.
Yeah.
Where can people find out information about you?
MelissaFerrick.com, yeah, which is, or writeonrecords.com, and that's probably the best way, my website, and the records should be in stores, and
And where do you go after Houston?
Tomorrow we go to New Orleans, and then Atlanta, and then Florida, Orlando, Tampa, and then Baltimore, and then Boston.
Okay. Yeah. And tonight, you're going right now to the Rhythm Room, where your warm-up act is already on stage, probably.
Tegan and Sarah? Right. Yeah. We've been on this tour for a while together. They're awesome. Have you heard Tegan and Sarah's record?
No, I haven't.
Well,
I've just
really
read good reviews.
Yeah, yeah. Really, really cute girls. Really nice people. Talented. Very good girls. Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you so much, Melissa Ferrick, for stopping by.
Thanks
and
for
gracing
having
us
me.
With a live concert.
Anytime, JD.
Squeezing us in.
Yeah, thank you so much. And you too, Jack. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
And you're listening to Queer Voices.